We are starting the third chapter of Makos, and the third chapter begins like this. Ve'elu hen halokin. These are the ones who get lashes. Now, you'll notice, if you've been with us since the previous chapter of this tractate, that this structure, ve'elu hen, this is the same structure we had at the beginning of the last chapter, and as we spoke about in the last chapter, this is actually a structure that continues from Sanhedrin, where we had ve'elu hen ha such and such. These are the ones who get the following punishment. And in each case, we sort of followed up with descriptions of that particular punishment. And we see a sort of decreasing severity. So in Sanhedrin, we had various kinds of death penalty. In the previous chapter of Makos, we had elu hen hagolin. These are the ones who get exile for accidental manslaughter. And now we get elu hen halokin. These are the ones who get lashes. Now, in rabbinic literature, lashes is the default punishment. That is to say, whenever the Torah says something is forbidden and it does not give us a specific punishment for that crime, the rabbis assume the punishment for that is lashes. So that actually is going to be a ton of different things. At least by one count, the Rambam has 207 prohibitions for which the punishment is lashes. We'll see that our Mishnah and the Mishnayos going forward do not get us anywhere near 207, so we're clearly not going to get an exhaustive list of all of the crimes for which the punishment is lashes, and we'll have to try to think about what might lead the author of our Mishnah to include these and not others. We won't have perfect answers, but we'll try to think about what some of these connections and themes are. So, our list begins. Haba al achoso, the one who has sexual relations with his sister, ve'al achos aviv, or with the sister of his father, that is to say, his paternal aunt, ve'al achos imo, or with the sister of his mother, his maternal aunt, ve'al achos ishto, or with the sister of his wife, with his sister-in-law in that way, ve'al eshes achiv, with the wife of his brother, a different kind of sister-in-law, ve'al eshes achi aviv, or with the wife of the brother of his father, that is to say, his aunt by marriage, ve'al hanida, or one who has sexual relations with a woman in the halakhic category of nida, that is to say, someone who has experienced menstruation and has not ended that period through a ritual marker, that is to say, through immersion in a mikvah. Now, what all of these prohibitions have in common, first of all, we can say right away, these are all sexual violations. They're also all sexual violations that appear in Leviticus chapters 18 and 20. And there we learn that these are all prohibitions that carry a punishment not merely of lashes, but actually of kares. Kares is a hard word to define. The word has to do with cutting, and it has to do with some kind of spiritual excision. What is important is that for the rabbis, kares is a punishment that's imposed not by a human court, but rather by divine decree. And so the idea here may well be that even though one is getting kares, one is getting this other punishment, because that is a punishment that's not imposed by the human court, there is still a human punishment that goes along with that, namely lashes. And this is the traditional reading that, unlike a death penalty where you would only get the more severe punishment, we only give you one punishment for any given crime. Since here the punishment is divine, we do also give lashes for these punishments. That said, this idea that these are all sexual prohibitions that carry the punishment of kares does make sense, but it's worth knowing that this is not even exhaustive of those crimes that appear in chapters 18 and 20 of Leviticus. There are other sexual violations that receive the punishment of kares in those chapters that do not come here. And so it's still a bit unclear why these are chosen and not others. Okay, our mission now continues. Almana l'chohen gadol, another example of a transgression that carries with it a punishment of lashes, is when a widow marries the kohen gadol. There are two kinds of kohanim. There are regular run-of-the-mill kohanim, and then there is the kohen gadol, the high priest. The high priest has prohibitions imposed on him that are not imposed on other kohanim, and one of those is that a regular kohen may marry a widow, but the high priest, the kohen gadol, may not marry a widow. This is Leviticus 21, the beginning of Parshas Emor. So that is a biblical prohibition, and it carries with it the punishment of lashes. Likewise, grusha v'chalutza, a divorced woman and a chalutza, I'll come back to that word chalutza in a moment, l'chohen hedyot, for a regular old kohen. So a regular old kohen is allowed to marry a widow. They are not, however, according to Leviticus, allowed to marry a divorcee. And if that happens, then that kohen will bear lashes for that as well. The chalutza is the woman who has been subject to the laws of yibum, levirate marriage. That is to say, a woman whose husband dies and they have no children. Such a woman, according to the Torah, is supposed to marry, as it were, her deceased husband's brother. That's called levirate marriage, yibum. And any children that come out of that relationship are considered the children of the heirs of the deceased husband. If, for whatever reason, they don't want to do that, they go through the chalitza ceremony, a ceremony that would sever this relationship between the widow and the deceased husband's brother. And a woman who goes through that ceremony is called a chalutza. And that, according to the rabbis, is a kind of mini divorce. So even though it's not technically divorce, it looks like, it smells like, it has this sort of sense of divorce. And so often the grusha and the chalutza are grouped together. That's actually important here because the truth is, according to the rabbis, the chalutza is not biblically prohibited to a kohen. Only according to rabbinic law is a kohen not allowed to marry a chalutza, because as I said before, it's not a real divorce, it's only a kind of mini divorce. And so this is actually a bit of a strange line here. It may well be that simply grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedyot, a divorcee and a chalutza for a regular old kohen, is such a common phrase in rabbinic literature that maybe the chalutza just got dragged in here, even though it's not really particularly accurate. But we'll see in a little bit that it's actually also a setup for the last line of our Mishnah. Okay. So now our Mishnah continues with our list of prohibitions for which the punishment is lashes. Mamzeres unasina l'Yisrael. Likewise, a woman who is the daughter of one of these prohibited marriages that would not actually count as a marriage, someone who's in the category of mamzer, and one of the core prohibitions on a mamzer is that they're not allowed to marry another Jew. And likewise, a nasina, this is a sort of ethnic subcategory within the Jewish people who, again, is biblically prohibited from marrying other Jews. These are obviously deeply challenging, morally troubling laws that if we had more time, we would sink into. But for now, we're just going to take for granted that these are biblical prohibitions. So a woman who is either a mamzeres or a nasina who marries a Jewish male, or bas Yisrael nasina le mamzer, or a Jewish man who is himself a nasin or a mamzer who marries a Jewish woman, all of these are prohibited actions and therefore incur the punishment of lashes. Our next Mishnah, the Mishnah we're going to go on to tomorrow, continues the list. But before we do, our Mishnah ends with a sort of theoretical discussion of something that comes out of what we've been talking about, which is as follows. Almana ugrusha, a woman who is both a widow and a divorcee. How could that happen? Imagine a woman who gets married, her husband dies, so she is now a widow. She remarries, they get divorced. She is now both a widow from her first husband and a divorcee from her second husband. If such a woman marries a Kohen Gadol, which our Mishnah doesn't tell us, but we'll see is clearly implied, Chayavina le mishum shnei shemos, then that Kohen Gadol is actually culpable twice, as it were, on two different laws for lashes, right? Because he has violated the prohibition on a Kohen Gadol marrying a widow, and he has also violated the prohibition on any Kohen marrying a divorcee. So that actually counts as two. Grusha v'chalutza eino chayav ele mishem echad bilvad. However, so if a woman is both a grusha, a divorcee, and a chalutza, and a Kohen marries such a woman, they are only culpable once. And this seems to be a consequence of the fact that chalutza is in fact only rabbinically prohibited. That really you'd only be culpable for this Kohen would only be culpable for having married a grusha, a divorcee, but the chalutza seems to be of a lower level. Again, it's really not even prohibited at the biblical level, and therefore that would only count as one violation. All right, we'll continue with our list tomorrow with the second Mishnah of the chapter.